sweat the technique.
You're back with the Killer Beans
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at East River 9.
Hey, back for the final hour of the program. Two in the books, one to go. Final hour of the show right here live from East River 9. It is the place you ought to be with the best view of the skyline. It's absolutely phenomenal. The view from here is magical. It's mystical. It's wonderful. You can watch the PGA Championship all weekend long. The staff here is overwhelmingly friendly and energetic. Their dance moves are second to none. The food, outstanding. The bar environment, fantastic. The people watching, way above average. If you need more, there's happy hour. There's all kinds of things going on. But you got to get your butt here to experience it. It's in Edo. It, like I said, you're going to be taking all these pictures for social media with the skyline in the back. They got night golf, the par 3 course, the driving range, the pickleball. You'll love it. We come here all the time. AJ, welcome back. In his first week back, good to have AJ back after being the car wreck, literally, of the month, a few months ago. He's back with us. With Jeremy out, I thought, hey, AJ wants to get some reps in. Here we go. Me and AJ till 6. AJ, welcome to the program. Now you have to speak.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I love this. So
okay.
I'm ready.
I know you do. Your mom does too. She said she listens on social media. That wasn't a mom joke. But here's the thing. All right. So if you haven't caught the story, and I'm sure you have, Caleb Williams' dad, who's always been really hands-on, really involved in everything to do with his son, the quarterback, is coming out with a new book. And supposedly within the pages of this book, it details the fact that he and evidently his son too were trying to do whatever they could so that Caleb Williams would be drafted by the Vikings or acquired in a trade by the Vikings. But they definitely were trying to do whatever they could to not play for the Chicago Bears. Now, lo and behold, as Caleb is the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears, it's one thing to say, as Joe George would probably be the best guy to answer this, but as a Bears fan, how are you handling this? But to take it a step further, what if after the Texans took C.J. Stroud and after he played his wonderful rookie season, what if there was another book written by someone in C.J.'s camp that basically detailed how C.J. didn't want to be a Texan, A.J.?
Well, if I was a Texans fan, or just putting myself in those type of shoes.
Yeah, let's be clear. You're a Cowboy fan, and that's disgusting
whatever.
As it is, but yes.
Whatever, cheesehead. Anyways, if I was a Texans fan, though, I would be like, I mean, I would be frustrated, but understand why, because how they were in, what, in 2022, 21, and 2020, after Deshaun Watson, you know, all that stuff went down, because they were just one of the laughingstocks of the NFL, but... I mean, it would suck to see it now, hindsight, but seeing how things have went the past couple of years under the D'Amico Ryan's era, no one expected those two 10-7 seasons, particularly the first one, obviously. Last year, people expected the Texans to be really good, which they still were solid, made the division around. But if you're a Texans fan, you really couldn't blame his camp for that. But after seeing the things that happened now, I mean, I think it would be all good, because the Bears is a totally different situation. I mean, they haven't had a 4,000 yard
I'm going to tell you this right now. I couldn't disagree more. I'm going to tell you this right now, because I know that there are plenty of people in the city of Chicago that are not happy about this. And the other thing that factors in here even more so is he played less than. He is not what everybody thought he was going to be. So now you've just given your entire fan base a reason to dislike you, and maybe dislike you even more than they disliked you after your first season, because of the fact that if you love Chicago, you can get a lot of leeway. If you love being a part of the city of Chicago and the teams that represent Chicago, you definitely can catch a pass on some things. But if you play like this and then that comes out, that's a tough one, man, because I think Houston's very similar. Houston, we know there was which quarterback are they going to take?
Right.
They settled on their guy, and it seems like, you know, after, and especially after, if it happened after 1 year like it did with Caleb Williams, you would say, hey, my God, this is a perfect fit. They got the right guy. Everything's sunshine and rainbows. If the book came out then, I definitely think he's going to sway some people. I think there's going to be Houstonians pissed off. If you want to join in on this, 713-780-3776. If this happened, as a Texans fan, if CJ after his rookie year comes out with a book and it says, essentially, I was doing everything in my power to stay away from and avoid being drafted by the Houston Texans, how would you feel? Because AJ thinks everything would be fine. I really believe that a good portion of the fan base would be pretty darn upset. And I'm curious, AJ, let me know when we got callers. But I'm curious how everybody thinks about this, because I just don't think there's any way that anybody's going to accept that.
For sure. And I see that point, obviously. I mean, probably a lot of people would agree with that. The only reason why I guess I said that, because the Texans, they had such a monumental type of season in 2023, which no one expected. I guess that he was in the good graces like that. But, yeah, that it definitely would have been sour, because, I mean, dang, after that type of season, after that type of love and things like that, actually how CJ Stroud is off the field as well, too, the type of person that he is, too, it would have been interesting to see that type of, you know, that type of report about him. But, yeah, I mean, I can see that for sure, because Houston, they embrace their people most definitely. But when you cross Houston, I mean, they for sure let you know.
AJ, I'm going to give you the perfect example, okay? And this is one you can relate to, because it's not a sucky team that you like the Cowboys.
Oh, my gosh.
Think back to the James Harden situation. James Harden, by a lot of people, regardless of how selfish he was and all the things I know that I wasn't pleased with, James Harden was an MVP. James Harden was a Rocket. So a lot of people defended staunchly, tooth and nail, their boy 13. The minute that he wanted out, he lost, I would say, three-quarters of this fan base, going, if you don't want to be here, then we don't want you, and get the hell out. And they were upset, because it's one thing, and there's been other examples of guys that suddenly don't want to be part of a Houston team anymore, and that just rubs everybody the wrong way. And I think it's rightfully so.
Yeah, for sure, because, yeah, when James Harden did that that post-game presser, he's like, we weren't good enough. Yeah, that made me mad, too. Like, I was not a fan of him at all either. So,
you want another one?
Yeah.
Garrett Cole. It was all good till it wasn't.
Yeah.
The minute post-game he put the Scott Boras hat on, says, I don't play for this team anymore, and basically left the writing on the wall that he wanted to go to and was going to go to the Yankees,
right. People
were flat out done. And Garrett Cole could kick rocks, because it's one thing when you're with us, it's another thing when not only are you against us, but on your own free will and your choice, you decided that you didn't want to be here. If I'm a Houstonian, I'm one of those people. I was done with Garrett Cole when he pulled that crap. I have never been a Garrett Cole fan since. And I don't think there's a lot of Astros fans that are.
Beforehand, wasn't there like speculation that he didn't even want to be in Houston anyways?
I mean, he's been a lifelong Yankee fan. They had that video of him when he was a kid with signs at Yankee Stadium. He made no bones about the fact that he wanted to play for the Yankees someday, and the first chance he got to get the hell out of Dodge, he didn't care that he was coming off a team that lost the World Series. He cared about the fact that he was not only going to get a boatload of money, but he was going to go to the exact team that he always dreamed of playing for, and he had no remorse for the fact that he was leaving an Astros franchise that did everything for him.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think the Cole example and the Harden example are two of the best examples of how this city loves you until you don't love them, and then they're done with you.
Yeah, it for sure is. And I can see that. It's a good thing that nothing like that happened here in Houston. I mean, Chicago's been a mess for a while. I mean, they haven't won a Super Bowl since the 80s. Haven't really hit on a quarterback in a long time. Really, ever, to be honest. They haven't had really a Hall of Fame type of quarterback. So, yeah. But Caleb, he's going to walk in a lot. And this year, he has no excuses at all, because you have Ben Johnson there as head coach. You have more weapons that they added in the draft. Colson Loveland, 10th overall pick. Luther Burden, second round. So, yeah, it's going to be on him for sure.
We got some great responses. One texter ends in 1970 said, fan base got mad when CJ said the food in California was better than that in Texas. I think he also made comments about the women in both spots, because he's from California. Those did not sit well. Those got hammered. So if that's the case, if he ever did something like this, whoo, baby. I mean, don't give your address to anybody, because that's a bad look, man.
Yeah, it is. I didn't even know he said stuff about the woman in Houston.
Yeah,
I mean,
oh, that was okay. Yeah, that was like, I think it was on one of the podcasts or something, either right before his first season or right after his first season, and people started losing their minds. Someone said, screw Cole, Springer, Correa, and Bregman the minute that they leave. So there's that. See, and again, they're not even saying anything bad about the Astros. They just left, and people already have disdain for them. Now, Texter 99 ending in 9900 says, Harden is still loved here, though. Is he? I think that there is a very small portion of the population that are Rockets fans that still love James Harden. I think there are some that appreciate when he played here. How many, I mean, of this, and you are a Rockets fan, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So of the Rockets fans, how many do you think still love James Harden?
I'm not going to lie. I think like 30%, 25%, maybe something like that.
Yeah, I don't think it's more than 30%.
Yeah.
I think that 25 to 30 I could see.
Yeah.
I mean, someone, 4128 says, always root against ex-Houston athletes no matter the sport. I mean, once they leave, they're dead to you. And I understand that as competitors. So here's the other interesting one. And this, AJ, you get your first gold star. Mm-hmm. Someone already coming through and saying, to AJ's point, they didn't hate on JJ when JJ left. Although, the caveat is, did JJ leave or did the Texans appease him and honor him by letting him walk? Because JJ didn't want to have that kind of stank around his reputation that he asked to leave. The Texans could have traded him for a second-round pick or a third-round pick, and at the end of the day, they mutually agreed that they were going to part ways so that neither one of them got the bad look they could have got. But I understand what you're saying. No one's ever hated JJ since he left, and they didn't hate him when he played for the Cardinals. I don't think.
Yeah, same. And I wonder how people view like DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, that's one thing that's too I haven't really seen or you know, wondered about. But that was a trade too, though. Well, actually, that was a bad trade because it was Bill O'Brien. So I think they love him still.
You think they still love Bill O'Brien?
No, DeAndre Hopkins.
See, someone said any coach that left the organization in a bad way is never going to be liked in this city again. I think that's pretty true. I mean, Cully was just completely over his head. No one likes him. Do they love Lovie or like Lovie? I don't think anybody does. I think they really they hold him responsible for the Colts game, although it turned out to be the best thing that ever could have happened to them. They don't give him credit for that. I think that's big. So I think that's something. But, yeah, I mean, I think they still love Kubiak.
Yeah, because he brought them their first division title back in 2011. Yeah.
Yeah, and Rudy didn't leave on his own, but they still love Rudy. D'Antoni, it was kind of mutual. I don't think anybody hates Mike D'Antoni.
Nah, probably not. Probably Steven Silas, probably.
A lot of people don't like Steven Silas. That's a fact.
Yeah.
And, of course, Peter has to get in here, and this is part of a bit that I don't know how much you know about. But Peter keeps a running list of things he thinks that I hate. So he says, Blank hates puppies, kids, nickel corners, the Rockets, property taxes, beef fajitas, Draymond Green, trampoline park workers, coaches that run up the score, hates when Branham checks out. Yeah, I question that one. I hate Jordan Love. I hate James Harden. There might be some truth to some of that, but not all of it. But, Peter, again, thank you for your participation on the show. You're welcome for me mentioning it to you. D-Hop, someone says, an exception because O'Brien made that move. See, that means that O'Brien is definitely
right.
There's a good question. Justin Verlander, he left. Did they hate him when he was with the Mets? I don't think so. He was in another league. He came back. Now he left again. Does anybody have disdain for Verlander? Because I don't think that they do.
Probably not. I mean, he had two stints, so, and he was a key part in winning the World Series. So, I mean, I don't think so.
Yeah, I see. Now, someone else said Harden's more loved by strippers than the Rockets fans. There might be some truth to that as well. Not that, you know, I'm not going to say too much there, but yeah. And someone else backed up that and said, I'm sure there's a lot of ladies in establishments that he frequented that still love him. Okay. We're not going to read that on the air. All right, so let us know what you think. 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on social media. That's the question of the day. If CJ did what Caleb Williams has done with his book and came out and said, I was trying before the draft to do everything I could to not be a member of the Texans, how would you take it after his rookie season? 713-780-3776. We'll take a break, come back with a whole lot more. He's AJ, I'm Joel. We're the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at East River 9. Here's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Several people said Andre Johnson played for your rival, the Colts and the Titans. No one ever really hated Andre. Was that because it was more of the Texans moving on from Andre? I don't remember how that ended, so I'm curious on that. But we had multiple people mention Andre Johnson. This has blown up. A lot of people had a lot to say. Another texter said, JJ never turned his back on the fans, just the poor management and ownership at the time. So that's why no one dislikes JJ. I think also when you raise like $50 million for the city and you know that it wasn't his fault that, you know, he wanted to play where there was actually some success in winning for the rest of his career, I think that's why a lot of people – and he didn't force his way out. So I would think that's probably right. Someone else said, I don't have a problem with a former player leaving Houston when they don't trash talk the team. Okay, well, did Garrett Cole trash talk the team, or did he just make it very, very, very clear that he wanted to be somewhere else? Because I think I had a problem with that. I had the problem with the way he handled that. So that would be my response to that one. Another one, Andre Johnson, even though he went to Tennessee and to the Colts. You forgot about that, didn't you?
Yeah, definitely.
AJ.
Yeah, for sure. I forgot about it.
Here's another interesting one, AJ. Another one that I think that you either forgot or didn't know.
Right.
Someone said, what about when DeMeco left to play for the Eagles, and then he sued the Texans because he blamed the turf on pallets for the reason why he tore his Achilles? I don't remember if people hated him. I think a lot of people sympathized with him to some degree, but maybe you have a better recollection than that than I do. I don't remember that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why people would even hate him for that because, I mean, Achilles injury, I mean, back in the day and nowadays is different, but that was viewed as a career type of threatening injury. So, yeah, you can't blame him for that. And then also just leaving the Eagles, I mean, maybe the Texans didn't try to pursue him as much as the Eagles did or vice versa. So, yeah.
0838 said, what about Dream?
He was out of his prime.
What about Dream, AJ?
He was out of his prime, though, wasn't he?
Well, that doesn't matter.
I mean.
I think it was more that I think people forgive him because he got into it with then-owner Charlie Thomas on a negotiation and then basically didn't like Charlie Thomas, so he wanted out. Right. I don't think anybody. Someone said Peter sounds like a real Peter. I think that's accurate. That might be up for call of the – I mean, text of the day. Blaine says, I can't hate Verlander. He just got old and it was time to go. He was an integral part of the World Series team. I think that kind of – there's a special category for Charlie Morton – and Justin Verlander types, although Springer was World Series MVP. I don't think George Springer's ever going to be hated in Houston. Do you?
No, probably not, because he was a huge factor of why they won. So,
yeah, I don't think anybody hates George Springer. So someone said only an issue if you quit on the city. I think that's accurate. Right. I think that's where if you crap on the city and or you quit on the city, that's when they will quit on you. I will stand by that one. Someone said, how many people had Deshaun's back even after the allegations? After he held out and then demanded to be traded, that's when I say, don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. Okay, some people might have thrown in the towel before he talked about white towels, but I don't know. I'm just going to throw that out there. All right, so if you have a take on this, someone said split on Nolan Ryan. Yeah, I mean, look, Nolan Ryan played for multiple teams. I don't think anybody hates Nolan Ryan. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here on if CJ would come out and have done what Caleb Williams has done with the Bears and said he was doing everything in his power to avoid the Bears before the draft, how would you feel about CJ? Interested to hear more feedback on this. There's been a lot of responses. See if there's any more as we continue to roll forward. So Joe George should be happy, AJ. You can report to him. We have yet another segment on football that has gone well, so therefore we are appeasing our requirements as a station. Oh, wow. Someone says, AJ, you're young enough for this one. Hmm. Someone says, I still hate Chandler Parsons. Do you?
No, and especially seeing how his career.
I mean, why would you hate Chandler Parsons? The Rockets weren't going to pay him the 14 or 15 a year. I'm sure they hated that Mark Cuban and the Mavs signed him. In retrospect, why do you hate Chandler Parsons? Because he got hurt and it was absolutely hot garbage after he left.
It was a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that one, but that's curious to me. All right, let's see what else we got today. By the way, East River 9 is going to be having specials all weekend long for the PGA Championship. We love it here. You guys should stop in here. Have a good time. The food's phenomenal. If you want to play some golf, some pickleball, or the driving range, East River 9 is the place to be, and it's got great views of the downtown, too. Kelly Eco is getting off a plane where he's been covering the NBA playoffs. We were trying to get him on in the final hour of the show so he could kind of talk about all these Rockets rumors as well as kind of fill us in on the latest and go over some of the NBA playoff talk. But if he can, we'll try and get him in before the end of the show. If he can't, we'll get him on next week when we get the full show back, because there's plenty to talk about with the Rockets these days, with the rumor now coming out, as we talked earlier in the show, that if Giannis were to come to the Rockets, or they were in a trade being discussed, any trades being discussed, the Rockets are not afraid to include Şengün in said trade. What says you, AJ? Because we didn't get your opinion on that earlier.
Yeah, for me, it just really depends because, yeah, obviously you would take Giannis. I mean, a lot of the fan base loves Şengün. I also know a lot of Rockets fans that kind of are annoyed with Şengün too, but that's another thing. But if you have Amen Thompson and Giannis Antetokounmpo on the floor at the same time, you need to have shooting. That's the main thing. That's the main component. That'll be the main argument. So I'm just trying to see how that would work. And then if you trade Şengün, I mean, man, that's interesting conversation. But, yeah, I think if you were to pull off keeping Şengün somehow, which I don't even know how likely that would be, you have to include Jabari, probably Kenwood-Moore, of course, those picks, the 10th pick this year. But I don't know if I would do Şengün. It just really depends because, I mean, you're going to have to, like Jeremy said, you're going to have to trade some of these guys because you can't have 20 young players and a young core like that. You have to make a move that helps you get into championship contention. But it just, you don't want to move on from a player too quickly and then, boom, they end up being a superstar somewhere else.
Now, do you have to? You said we have to make a move to get into championship contention.
Not necessarily.
You're in the camp that, well, you kind of just said that. So I'm asking you, do you have to make a move?
I said eventually.
And does that move constitute having to trade for a superstar, or is that you stand pat, you keep this team together, you keep using your draft picks the right way, and you roll with it?
I mean, I remember y'all had a conversation, I think y'all were talking about maybe trading for a player like Derek White or something like that. Like it just depends, because like for me, I don't know about y'all, but Jalen Green, like, he really disappointed me. Like if it was a perfect player, like a perfect like wing or shooting guard that we could trade for, like I would do that immediately. But I mean, you have to do something because yeah, we can say now they have that experience getting to a game seven, but I still don't even know that that's enough. So it just depends on the right player because, like I said, you don't want to break up something too fast.
And you mentioned the right player, right. And this was a topic of conversation with several other shows this week. Mm. I was quick to poo-poo it, but a lot of people are like, Derek White's the kind of guy you need on your team. Well, you're going to have to give up something to get Derek White, right, for one. For two, he makes $29 million a year. And most importantly, if this team truly needs like a superstar go-to player in order to take you to the next level, I am of the belief that that is not your guy, that he is not that guy, and that is not who I'd be trading for.
No, I agree. I wouldn't necessarily say that. I mean, I understand why people would say a player like him just in terms of a fit aspect, how he plays offensively and defensively. But, yeah, he's not a superstar. He doesn't move the needle. But even, like, a person from, like Kevin Durant.
People are saying Anthony Simons. I have no interest in Anthony Simons. Portland screwed up, and they paid him too much too early.
Nah.
And now they're trying to unload their surplus. I don't want Anthony Simons.
Absolutely not. No, sir.
I would be interested in Ja Morant. Mm-hmm. I'm in the camp that I don't want Devin Booker because I believe that Devin Booker is a scorer. Devin Booker is a shooter. Do I think that Devin Booker is capable of being your 1A superstar? I don't. I think he's better being Robin or the third fiddle. And I think that I don't know that I like the fit a whole lot with the Rockets. I'm in on Giannis. The price matters. I'm in on Giannis. And the same thing with Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant for 2 years means I don't have to give up a whole hell of a lot to get him so that you can get him off the Suns' books because that's what they want. Mm-hmm. If you're telling me that the Suns want their three first-round picks back and they want, you know, a couple of the young core and they want, you know, some other things, I'm out.
Yeah, me too. Me too, because, I mean, also in that type of aspect too as well, KD doesn't fit the timeline. If you ask me who I'd rather have, KD or Giannis, yes, the price matters, I'd rather have Giannis because he's only 30 years old, still in his prime, make an argument that he can still be playing at this level for like 4 to 5 more years. Versus Kevin Durant, who probably played at this max like 2 to 3 more years. So, yeah, but the price definitely is a huge factor.
Now, Texter says that, you know, you don't get Giannis. He's going to San Antonio. Well, that's not what I'm hearing because from what I'm hearing, San Antonio really, really, really likes Harper.
That's interesting.
And they are not interested in getting rid of him if it as part of a deal for Giannis.
Right.
So it looks like they would be out on Giannis. So that would be one less team that would be someone you have to worry about in terms of being competition for Giannis.
That's interesting, too, though, for San Antonio because they want Harper, but they just traded for De'Aaron Fox. They have Stephon Castle. They have a lot of guards, too, though. So I'm
See, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
More so long-term, I'm wondering how Castle coexists with a guy like Harper, who I still think is, as you know, he's got the skill set,
right.
But how far away is he from being a contributor?
Mm-hmm.
But De'Aaron Fox, you're right. They just traded for him. Mm-hmm. They gave up a lot of assets to get him, and they got to pay him.
Exactly.
I don't know how he fits with all those guys.
I don't know. And they have the 14th
pick. Interesting to me. Mm-hmm. Key from L.A. being his normal self. Stop wishful thinking. What am I wishful thinking? Just because of the fact that, first of all, how'd your Lakers do, Key? Oh, well, how'd your Clippers? Okay, no, let's not worry about all that. All right, Key from L.A. makes the list no matter what for car wreck of the day because he's trying to look tough and his foot and his basketball team's crapped the bed as well. We're going to take a break. We got a half hour to go on the show or a little less. You guys want to be a part of it, 713-780-3776. You can call this number. You can text this number. You can hit us up on Twitter. You can hit us up on social media. We're here till 6 o'clock. He's AJ. I'm Joel. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM.
Duggar. You're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at East River 9.
All right, back on the Killer Bees, final half hour of the program. Jeremy had to skip out early for a little coup commitment. We were sitting here with AJ back in the studio and myself here at East River 9. Talking about the fact that the Caleb Williams story was so big this week, his dad's writing a book, as excerpts of the book come out, basically the story goes that the family was doing whatever they could to make sure that he didn't have to go to the Chicago Bears. There are stories associated when he met with the Bears that he didn't feel comfortable. He met with Kevin O'Connell, and he wanted to try and find a way to play for him with the Vikings. Regardless, if you're as a Texans fan, how would you feel if this was C.J. Stroud? And after his rookie year, he comes back out and he says, I really didn't want to play for the Texans and was looking for any way possible where I didn't have to play for the Texans. Because a lot of the responses are interesting. And someone that I really found was a good comment was Texter 2568. I wouldn't fault CJ for thinking that coming out of school because if you remember, the Texans were a bleep show at that point. And that's absolutely true. Because if you remember, AJ, I mean, Colin Cowherd, and when they were trying to find a coach, the whole thing was, before they got D'Amico, that Sean Payton was out there and Cowherd was his mouthpiece of saying the ownership was a bleep show, the organization was a bleep show, it was going to be really tough to get anybody to take the job because they were a bleep show. I think there's a lot of merit to that in the fact that at that time, the Texans weren't who they are now. And I think that that might have been a reason why players could have that. I'm not saying CJ did. I'm saying if this hypothetical that we're talking about would have happened, it could have been because of that.
Right. In many situations, like you can kind of compare them to how the Saints are viewed now in that type of view because, I mean, they had no direction at the time. Like you said, people really didn't want to coach that job either. So, yeah, you could have had that type of aspect to it too as well. So I think that's why I necessarily don't think that he would have been blamed as much, but like I said, a lot of people probably would disagree in the Houston area.
A lot of people saying you don't hate on guys that left Houston to get their bag like Springer did. And, you know, Bregman, a different story. But, again, Breggy's a guy that went and got his bag. So that's a big deal. But yeah, I don't ever hate George Springer. And he was my favorite Astro during that run and that era because of the fact that the Astros kind of did him dirty early and then – later on, as he got a chance to actually test free agency, you knew he was going to get a lot, and you kind of already had the feeling the Astros weren't going to be willing to play ball at that number, and so that they went in a different direction. So that's why I think with guys like George Springer, Charlie Morton, Correa is an interesting one, but I think that was also a foregone conclusion that everybody realized that he wasn't going to be a guy that the Astros were willing to commit that many years and that amount of money to. I don't think anybody hates any of those players.
Yeah, same. If they contributed to winning at a high level, I think people have some more grace with them. But if, like you said, they trash him or talk about they don't want to be there, then, yeah, they definitely don't have any love for him.
Ooh, here's an interesting one I didn't expect. T-Mac quit on the Rockets, and then he shows up to throw the first pitch at an Astros game in a Yankees hat. I didn't know he did that, but I could see again how that could rub a whole lot of Houston fans the wrong way for a lot of reasons. So I totally get that. The reason why someone texted in Bud Adams, I have no idea, but okay. A lot of people saying, and I didn't remember this at the time, now I do. Chandler Parsons, when he left, bashed Houston and said it was a dirty, trashy city and that he was dirtier than Dallas. And I do remember that that severely caught the ire of Rockets fans, as it should. So I stand corrected on that one. Yeah, I do remember that now. That's absolutely the case, that they were really, really upset with Chandler Parsons. So that makes total sense to me. Someone said for the Rockets to go get Malik Beasley. Look, I think he'd be a great piece for a team that desperately needs shooting. I don't know if he's a free agent or not, but even in a trade, I don't think you have to give up much to get him. Right. But he had a good year in Detroit. I'm not sure if Detroit's willing to get rid of him because of that. So that's interesting. But I think there are a lot of players like that for the Rockets. I think when you think about guys like Grayson Allen, like what the Bucks did with Gary Trent Jr. a year ago, there's going to be guys on the open market that are just snipers for hire that are going to want to play for a Rockets team with or without Giannis because they're good and they're on the rise and they have a chance to win and guys want to do that. And I think that there's a lot of shooters that could find a good home here and it wouldn't cost you a lot of these core players that a lot of people are worried about.
Yeah, for sure. That's going to be an interesting thing. But that's the great thing about Houston having this type of success this year because now it becomes an attractive place that people want to play at.
Now, someone defending Caleb Williams said, I don't blame any quarterback for not wanting to go where these terrible teams exist, especially these quarterbacks. Think about how many talented quarterbacks were destroyed by teams like the Browns in the past two decades. I would do everything I could to make sure I didn't come out until decades later, after my career, to say it. But, hey, that's the world we live in now, isn't it? It'll sell books. That's a great point. But I think that it's the toughest thing about all of that is, because he did it when he did it, or maybe it was just his dad trying to make a buck, capitalizing on his son's popularity. I think it was a really, really bad choice to have it come out. You always have editorial control in the book that you wrote and you're putting your name to. So in the final edits before you go to print, if you know that he ended up with the Bears, you can say something about, we initially had some reservations about going to a franchise like the Bears because of their lack of success with quarterbacks. But in the end, we were extremely happy to go to Chicago. I wouldn't have left it as is because I think it's an awful look, and I think that he is going to have a hard time outliving this unless he plays his ass off this year in Chicago.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess, like, as a quarterback being drafted that high too, don't you want to be the type of guy that, you know, changes the narrative? Like, for example, with Joe Burrow. I mean, yeah, they had, like, Carson Palmer for a little time, but you can make the argument that Joe Burrow could have had this type of mindset too. But, you see, he's a top 3 to 5 quarterback in the league. So, yeah, it definitely doesn't bold as the best type of thing to come out now. But, yeah, I mean, it's the Bears for you.
See, but again, like, you want that level of success. But if you don't have the right coaching staff, and he really highlight the coaches, their inability to like, give him, you know, the help he needed with film study and other things, to where that kind of lends itself to, it doesn't matter how much talent I have and what you put around me, if you're not willing to help me and understand where I might be a little, have some shortcomings, then how am I ever going to succeed? And that is why you saw guys like John Elway and Eli Manning and so many quarterbacks that basically said, I will not play for this team, and you're going to have to do something because I will never play for you. And I think that's part of the reason why those things happen.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, because it's also interesting to me, too, that in that report it said that he wanted to play for the Vikings. I mean, obviously that's a cool concept because, you know, Kevin O'Connell, he's a quarterback whisperer, but that never would have happened. Like, a trade between Chicago and the Vikings, and
right,
that never would have happened.
Yeah, they're not trading interdivision, and the Vikings, I don't think we're willing to give up the kind of resources to get to the number one pick.
Because right.
You think about, like, what they got the year before to trade out, it was DJ Moore, and it was multiple picks, first-round picks. And I just don't think a Vikings team is willing to do those kind of things to get to where the Bears were. And you're right. The deal-breaker is there's no way the Bears are trading a number one pick in the entire draft to the Vikings, knowing full well there's a chance that whoever the Vikings draft at the number one pick, if they succeed, you're going to have to live with it twice a year for how many years?
A decade plus.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen. So you guys have been great about chiming in on this. Certainly appreciate it. If you guys have more, get them to me. We'll try and get them in before the end of the show. There's a lot of people with a lot of comments on this, but most everybody is basically saying, if you're going to crap on the city of Houston, no matter how good you were in your first year and no matter what else you want to do in your life, if you don't want to be here, then we don't want you. And I kind of like that and respect that mentality because of the fact that the only thing that would make this very difficult, AJ, is the fact that after his rookie year, you had your franchise quarterback.
Right.
So suddenly, if your franchise quarterback, it's one thing if he's saying he doesn't like the women in Houston compared to California or the food. But if he's saying he didn't want to play for the organization, that's a tougher pill to swallow for a guy that you're basically putting all your eggs in his basket because you know people were talking about him as top five in the league going into the next season that I think fans would have a little bit more difficulty accepting that.
Oh, yeah, they definitely would. But it's a good thing that the Texans didn't have to deal with anything like this. But, yeah, for the Bears, though, aspect of it, I mean, they still have reservations about Caleb Williams, and rightfully so. I mean, like you talked about, it was a bad coaching staff. Your offensive coordinator and head coach not watching film with you, man, that's terrible. So he definitely has a chance to redeem himself this year, but only time will tell. I am interested to see how the Bears perform this year because they have a lot of expectations from a lot of people, like last year, and they still went 4-13. So,
well, I mean, from the one thing I will say is, at least from a roster standpoint, he had three above-average wide receivers,
exactly.
A good tight end. You know, yes, it all comes down to coaching, so I get it. But even this year, after a subpar first year, they've put the tools around him. They drafted a tight end. They drafted a wide receiver in the second round that's going to help them. They've got DJ Moore and Odunze still. They've got enough, and they bolstered the hell out of their offensive line. It's on him if he doesn't do well, and at the same time, the leash is shorter and the amount of scrutiny higher because of this book.
Yeah, exactly. That just made fans even more having their high alert on them.
No doubt. All right, we got one segment to go on the show. We got Car Wreck of the Day next. You got a nomination for Car Wreck of the Day, 713-780-3776. You can call that number, text that number. You can send them in on Twitter to us. We'll get them in before the end of the show. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Give me your f***ing money, you prick. Where's my f***ing money?
This is the Car Wreck of the Day.
For a Friday, the Car Wreck of the Day is the only segment we got left to go in the show, and we are interested in what you guys have for us, if you have anything for us. But I'm even more interested in my man, AJ, who loves to be a part of these programs and is back in the swing of things. He says he not only has one, but he has two car wrecks of the day. AJ, do tell, what is on your list?
Right, for the first one, which I kind of talked to you off air, it's related to the Dallas Cowboys, but it's actually, I guess, a bandwagon fan. So on this man's back, he essentially had a Dallas Cowboys tattoo that it looked like he'd been there on there for a decade plus. He went to the tattoo parlor to get a cover-up, and he ended up getting a Chiefs tattoo tatted over him, like a Chiefs Indian on there and then a Chiefs logo on there. So for my thing,
I saw this.
Yeah, you saw it?
It wasn't his wife, who also has tattoos. I saw she had like a neck tattoo.
Right.
But I saw that she was the one basically calling him out on this.
Yeah.
And this thing ain't small. This is like the size of his back.
It's huge. It's huge. So, yeah. I saw like in the Cowboys community, they're just saying like, it's an L fan. He must be from California, bandwagon fan, stuff like that. They're mad about it too, but yeah.
Yeah, what kind of fan tattoos tattoos organized fertilizer on their back?
I know, it's a dumb
thing. I mean, that's the crap show we're talking about, right? It's the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, clearly, I mean,
he's not a Cowboys. You did agree with me, by the way, when I said that, so that will be on record.
No.
Oh, but you did.
I wouldn't ever tattoo a professional sports team on me. There's Celtics fans that do that. There's all types of people who do that.
No, but you admit that it's been an organized crap show for a fertilizer, which is crap,
for
as long as we can remember. To pull the curtain back, AJ and I during the break had a discussion where he was trying to defend the success of the Cowboys, and I said, since the Texans have been in existence, who has better success, who has more playoff wins? And AJ's like, we have Super Bowls. I said, Super Bowls don't count because that was before the Texans were in existence.
No, I didn't say that. I said, what have the Texans done? That's what I said.
Okay, and the Texans have done more. All right, what else? What's your second one?
Oh, my gosh. Anyways, so Emmanuel Acho, the other day after the Celtics won against the Knicks, he was basically just saying that how the Celtics look better without Jason Tatum. And I think that's a terrible look, especially considering how he was playing in that game, but also the injury that he had before.
Yeah.
He had 42 points and then tearing his Achilles like that, too. I just think that's an awful take. And a lot of people, I've seen some people saying that, too, as well, saying that, oh, they look better without Jason Tatum in game five. So, nah. That's,
I saw Acho saying that. I was like, what are you talking? And then yeah. Dan Patrick last week, I had it as my car record of the day, killed him saying it's only because of the Celtics that Tatum is regarded as one of the top five best players in the league. And then Tatum went out for 40-some points. It's like, shut up, Dan. I mean, do you watch basketball?
Exactly.
That's ridiculous. All right, I got a couple. Your favorite team in the WNBA, the Golden State Valkyries, have declared their final roster for public consumption. They have absolutely zero players from their inaugural draft class on their final roster. You had a top, what, five pick?
I thought so, yeah.
Not one of your draft picks makes your roster? That's crazy. If you suck, that's not a good look. And then the last one, I think the best one for Houstonians getting ready to go to the weekend. Let's all celebrate this car wreck as Kendrick Perkins craps all over public enemy number one from the last month or so in Houston sports, Draymond Green. You got it, AJ? All right, AJ's pulling it up. Kendrick Perkins had plenty to say after Draymond Green not only said they were going to win the championship, but how he played following the Rockets series. AJ? All right, AJ, tell me in my ear when you got him. What's that? Okay. Well, essentially, it's worth a listen. We can't get it right now. But he basically went off and said, you were a nothing burger the entire series. You didn't show up. Julius Randle used you and we're all over the place. And he went nuts, so much so that Udonis Haslam came in afterwards and piled on and said, Perk, you're absolutely right. Draymond, for all the talking you did and all of the bullying you did in the Rocket series and all the things that you did that you thought was helping your team win, that when Steph Curry went down, it wasn't only on Jimmy Butler, it was on you too. You didn't defend, you didn't play defense, you didn't show up, and you lost. And I loved every single bit of it because Draymond needs to wear this because of how he acted throughout the Houston series, and then suddenly he disappears in the biggest series of the year when they needed him most, when Steph was out. All right, so that'll basically do our car wreck of the day. You guys didn't have any extras. Alex, I thought you'd kill somebody, but I haven't seen anything yet. But we appreciate you listening. We always appreciate you being a part of the show. Jeremy's going to be back on Monday, so is BMAC. We're going to have plenty more for you. So what we need you to do is make sure you hang tight, stay with us. AJ, what's coming up next on the network? Is it network programming?
Yeah, it's just network programming.
All right, so ESPN network programming coming up. I think there might be a bullpen tomorrow. But have yourself a great weekend, Houston. Enjoy everything. Thank you to East River 9. You guys have been great to us. You always take great care of us. We love being here. Come on out here this weekend and watch some of the PGA Championship. Play a little pickleball. Hit some balls on the driving range. Play a little par 3 golf even at night. But tell them we sent you by because we love being out here. For Jeremy, for AJ, for Brian, who's out today, and myself, Joel, we always appreciate you. Thanks for being a part of the Killer Bees. We'll talk to you Monday on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.